The resolution adopting the borough charter cited the preservation of the surrounding area's culture, educational, economic identification for seeking borough formation.
After City Clerk Kathy O'Rear gave a short history of Petersburg's borough formation efforts, Jim Brennan took the floor. The borough attorney described in detail a series of reasons a community would want to form a borough: a broader tax base to support education, more local control over development and planning in outlying areas, a selection of state lands, and sustained or increased funding from federal or state sources. For instance, Brennan pointed to state legislation passed this year that would provide more money to cities and boroughs each year.
If you factor in the per capita difference, a Petersburg borough would get $303,000 more per year than a city of Petersburg. And this one is not, there's not questions on this. This is happening. The bill's been signed.
The city council chambers was packed with 50 or more people. There were several city councilors and staff there, but a solid majority of the people in the audience either lived outside city limits or owned property outside city limits, property that would be incorporated and taxed under a Petersburg borough. The petition calls for residents inside the existing city limits to continue paying their current tax level, about 11 mils. All the newly incorporated areas would only be taxed at 4 mils, though many remote areas are unlikely to see any new services. So Brennan hit on a key question right away.
Why should someone outside the service area, the existing city limits, have to pay property taxes?
Brennan explained that under the state constitution, a borough government has to support local schools with at least a 4 mil equivalent of the value of the property in its boundaries, hence the 4 mil tax for newly incorporated areas. Brennan said residents who live in those areas or own land in those areas were at least indirectly supported by Petersburg's existence.
You know, recognizing the fact that people outside the city who shop in the city, who buy fuel in the city, are paying sales taxes to the city, so they're already contributing that way. Or if they are, you know, mooring a boat at the harbor, they're paying a transient or permanent moorage fees, they're paying a user fee. The concept here would be that's not covering the full freight of what it costs to support the entire infrastructure of Petersburg. The public infrastructure.
Brennan said that infrastructure included a school system that provides education to area children, though he also acknowledged that not everyone used the local school system. The proposed borough boundaries would stretch north to Holcomb Bay at the edge of the Juneau borough, south to a proposed Wrangell borough, west across roughly half of Kuprinoff Island, and east to the mainland Canadian border. It would incorporate several outlying neighborhoods and remote residences, as well as the small nearby city of Kuprinoff. While Kuprinoff would remain a city under the plan, there would no longer be a city of Petersburg. The city and all its current functions would basically become the borough of Petersburg. City officials expect there will be objections to the boundaries from both Juneau to the north and Cake to the west. Along with the 4 mil tax rate for newly incorporated areas, the proposed Petersburg borough would be governed by an assembly of 7 members elected at large from the entire borough area. The preamble of the borough charter emphasizes maximum public participation in assembly decisions. However, after receiving the charter from the Commission of Area Residents that drafted it, the City Council last year decided to reduce the number of times the assembly has to vote on an ordinance from 3 to 2. That change was of concern to Charter Commission member Jerry Merrigan.
I fail to see how going for maximum public participation in far-flung areas is somewhat embraced by having only 2 readings of every ordinance. And to me, that's a sends more philosophical message that we really don't care if you people participate from the outlying areas. It's just the opposite of the message that the preamble sends.
Merrigan, who lives outside city limits on Mitkoff Highway, said he was not opposed to borough formation, but he suggested the city should make some revisions to the charter and petition before moving forward. Merrigan was one of several people who questioned whether the petition was underestimating the costs of borough formation, such as the costs of having a tax assessor fly or boat out to properties spread out over 4,300 miles of land and water. The proposed 4 mil tax rate dominated most of the 3-hour discussion. City Councilor Melinda Hofstede said she was concerned about remote areas not connected by roads that are too far for people to send their kids to school in Petersburg.
I personally think it's inherently just wrong to charge people taxes when you know they're going to get absolutely nothing. Those people can't send their children to school. I mean, I don't have children in school and I pay, but I live in the city, And that's, you know, I have the option when I do have children or grandchildren for my kids to go to school. Those people don't.
Along with the people Hofstede referred to who live in remote areas, there are also concerns from Petersburg residents who also own property outside the city limits, like Kathy Reamer. Reamer noted that she and other residents in this situation already pay the full millage rate on their property in town, but would have to pay another 4 mils on their properties outside of town under a borough.
What's really frightening is what the assessments are going to be on those properties. And like in Point Agassiz, I mean, some of those properties have been in families for generations, and what are those people going to do? And you say they're going to chop them up, but who's going to buy them? I mean, we'll be stuck with these huge properties that we can't afford anymore. And I think what we're feeling now mostly is fear. And the fear is, can we afford this?
Also, with residents inside the city facing increased costs for utilities and other services, Reamer questioned whether the city could afford the costs of becoming a borough. With a larger tax base and the anticipation of more state and federal funds, the petition projects the borough will be able to cover its costs. But if those projections don't pan out, some in the audience questioned whether there was anything to stop the borough assembly from raising the basic 4 mil tax rate in outlying areas. The answer was no. Borough Attorney Jim Brennan said there was no guarantee that rate for newly incorporated areas would stay at 4 mils once the borough was established.
When you set up a borough, just as you, as long ago there was the city of Petersburg set up, it's a living, breathing thing that has a representative body, either a city council or a borough assembly, that takes actions as the circumstances require in the future. So there's no lock-in to a 4 mil rate. There's no guarantee that it wouldn't be increased in the future.
The emphasis on taxes bothered Phil Beardsley, who pointed out that the state tax burden in Alaska is nearly the lowest in the nation. Beardsley owns property both inside and outside the city. He said he didn't want to see anyone lose their land, and he thought the city needed to consider ways to avoid that, but he emphasized that people outside the city do use city services, and he urged everyone to think about the long-term interests of the whole area.
There's going to be a whole bunch of things coming in, flying down the future, and I think we got to look at what's going to be the big problems in the future. It could be power interties. It could be development of power systems, i.e. Thomas Bay. I think the closest big communities ought to have a say in what happens in that development, and I think that's best done by borough formation.
In order to even submit its borough petition for review by the state's local boundary commission, the city needs to collect 151 signatures from residents inside the city, and it's getting close to that, but it's still far short of the 18 signatures needed from residents outside the city. Tom Reinhartz is a charter commission member who owns property both in Petersburg and neighboring Kuprinoff. He told residents outside city limits that they will have a lot less influence on the petition after those signatures are in.
Once those 18 signatures go on that petition, then everything thereafter is a vote of the entire population of what would be the borough.
That's correct.
And it's a majority of that. So whereas right now there is some influence that group of people can have, once you sign that thing and it goes into the local boundary commission, everything from then on is a vote of the entire people. And the bulk of the people are in the city of Petersburg.
Reinhart said he didn't think he was against a borough, but he was also not sure if he was for one. He was bothered by some of the changes the city had made since the commission submitted the charter. He thought the petition was flawed, so he recommended the city consider withdrawing it and starting a new public process to, as he put it, come up with a document that everybody understands and can support. City staff, elected and appointed officials, and consultants had spent the last 2 years off and on drafting the borough petition. Whatever their opinion on the proposal itself, several audience members said they appreciated the chance to discuss the issue at the forum. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.